Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. And check out our Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. Well, our listener support campaign gets underway. I will have some talk about that after the program. Of course, you can support the show on a one-time basis, but you can also become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. Just go over to patreon.greatdetectives.net. And thank you to Paul for increasing his pledge from the Seamus level of $4 per month to the Detective Sergeant level of $7.14 or more per month. Again, thank you so much for your support. Well, now it's time to get into this week's episode of Casey Crime Photographer. The original air date, November 20th, 1947, and the title is Earned Reward.
The Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation brings you Crime Photographer.
Hi, Ethelbert.
Hello, Casey.
What did you think of the royal wedding?
Oh, Casey, it's a shame. I couldn't get off to go to it.
You? You mean you got an invitation?
Sure, I've known him for years.
You know Mountbatten?
Mountbatten?
Yeah.
No, I mean Henry Royal. You know him, the cop on the beat here.
Oh, I thought for a minute you were famous.
Oh, Casey, but Ethelbert is. You know, he works for Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tony Marvin. Every week at this time, the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, and its more than 10,000 employees bring you another adventure of Casey, crime photographer, ace cameraman who covers the crime news of a great city. Written by Alonzo Dean Cole, our adventure for tonight, Earned Reward. Eight o'clock in the evening, the Blue Note Cafe. Casey, camera slung over his shoulder and a heavy equipment case resting beside his high stool, is sitting at the bar, and a little man carrying a similar press camera and photographer's case enters from the street.
Hello, Casey.
Shorty, glad to see you, fella.
I thought I'd find you here.
You wanted to see me?
Didn't you think I'd be looking you up? This is payday. You lent me $100 last week, Casey, so here's 10 of it back.
Put that dough back in your pocket. Your kid's still in the hospital.
But she's okay now. Came through the operation swell.
That's good.
And the missus made me promise I'd give you this today. That century pulled us out of a mighty tough spot.
Now, you tell the missus to forget it for a while. If one camera guy can't help another without women butting in, it's too bad.
Okay, Casey.
Going on a job, Joey?
Oh, just a political meeting in the old Caledonian Hall on Farley Street.
Oh, one of those backstage fillers, huh?
Yeah.
Well, after the beat you got on that Bernstein killing, you can afford to sit back for a while.
I got the break of a lifetime on that Bernstein job, didn't I?
Yeah, I'll figure this. You were only a few feet away when Joe Mosley shot him.
Oh, not that close. Mosley had made his getaway before I could get a real hot shot of him. But I got swell close up to Bernstein lying in the gutter before the cops showed up.
Yeah, you know, it's too bad hot pictures like that were wasted.
What do you mean, wasted?
They should have been running a good paper like the Express instead of that lousy sheet you worked for.
Oh, nuts to you.
Here you are, Casey.
Thanks, Ethelbert. You know Shorty Irwin at the Globe, don't you?
Oh, sure. Hiya, Shorty.
Oh, fine, Ethelbert.
Casey tells me you're the guy who beat him and all the other press photographers on the Bernstein murder.
Yeah, that was my lucky day.
Say, I see a reward's been offered for information leading to the capture of Joe Mosley, who shot Bernstein.
Yeah, $5,000.
That's a nice piece of change.
I could sure use it.
You and me both.
I hear the cops been looking for him almost 2 weeks now without finding hide or hair of him. He's a smart cookie.
It's a dumb, kill-crazy gorilla who's had a lot of luck and a clever, crooked lawyer for a brother. And now, when the cops catch him, even a mouthpiece like his brother Frank can't save him from the chair after that Bernstein job.
Frank usually has some shyster trick up his sleeve, Casey. He'll go all out to save Joe like he did for his other brother, Tony. Got him out after 2 years.
Hey, there's three Mosley brothers?
Oh, sure. Tony was a camera guy like Casey and me, Ethelbert, on the old Inquirer. Until he got caught doing a blackmail business on the side. He got 2 years for that. Should have had 10.
Well, he's back in this town now, running a little photo studio on the south side. I guess he's been keeping his nose clean, though.
I wouldn't lay any bets on that. Well, say, I gotta get down to East Farley Street.
Yeah, I gotta be moving toward the office.
Now, I'll see you guys later. And, I'm much obliged, Casey.
Forget it, Shorty. Do my best to the missus and the kid, huh?
I will. So long.
So long, fella. So long.
So long, Shorty. Nice little guy, Shorty Irwin.
Yeah, he's tough.
I hear his kid's been sick.
She's okay now, he says.
Oh, that's good. One of the fellas on his paper tells me he's had an awful lot of expense with her. Said Shorty even had to hawk his life insurance to raise dough. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
He was thanking you for something when he went out. Casey,
He was thanking me for a tip on a horse I gave him.
Oh. The tips you give out on horses don't call for gratitude. They call for revenge.
Nuts to you. Well, I gotta be going. Put this sandwich on the cup, Ethelbert, will you? After Annie and I stepped out last week, angel face, I'm a little short.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so long.
So long. Well, here comes Miss Williams.
Oh, hello, Annie.
Hi there. Hey, Casey, there's a big fire downtown, and City Desk told me to pick you up and get down there right away.
What kind of fire? Where downtown?
An old frame tenement house. People are trapped in it.
Hey, that's front page stuff.
Sure, come on. It's on East Farley Street.
East Farley Street?
Yeah.
Holy smoke. Shorty's already on his way there. That little mug will see that fire and get another beat on
him. Well, he's a pal of yours, Casey. What do you...
I got no pals when it comes to getting pictures. Come on, Ann. We gotta make this fire before that shrimp gets all the gravy. Annie, we missed the best part of it. Another 5 minutes, they'll let the fire out.
Boy, it must have gone up like a haystack.
Shorty probably got it while the blaze was at its best. He had a head start, too. Well, take another shot. It won't be any good.
Well, hurry up. I want to find the fire captain and get some dope on the people who are trapped in there.
Okay. All right, come on. Captain Glennon ought to be in charge. Yeah, there he is. Hey, Cap!
Hello, Casey. You just got here?
Yeah. Hey, was Shorty Irwin here while it was going good?
Yeah. I saw Shorty working his camera all over the place.
Yeah, Annie, I knew it.
Hey, Captain Glennon, the report we got was that several people were trapped in this tenement.
We think one man was caught in there, but no one else.
Oh, one man?
A neighborhood bum who... Hey, Stanley, straighten out that number two hose line.
Okay, Captain.
You say the man was a neighborhood bum, Captain?
Well, that's our guess, Miss Williams. This tenement had been condemned and was empty, and unidentified man was seen going into it tonight. Probably some poor devil who had no other place to sleep. Screams were heard from the rear, but we couldn't make any attempt at rescue.
That's your story to phone in, Annie. Can't get any more until the ashes are cool enough for men to go in there.
Well, that won't be long. The way we've watered this place, you better stick around.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, well, thanks for everything, Cap. See you later.
So long, Casey.
Hey, where are you going, Casey?
The roof, one of those tenements back there. And May got a high-angle shot. Maybe Shorty didn't think of that. Come on.
Okay.
There's an alley here that we can cut through and save time.
It's terribly dark.
Yeah, these buildings here cut off what's left of the fire glow.
I can't see a thing right here.
Neither can I. I've got a guiding sense in the dark, anyhow. Give me a hand, I'll help you. Oh! Ow!
Hey, what's the matter?
I stumbled into something. Almost broke my big toe. Look at it. With this box.
Did that kick you gave it make your toe feel better?
I don't see anything funny.
I don't see anything at all.
All right, come on. We haven't got all night.
Oh!
What's the animal?
I just stumbled into something. Hey, Casey, I almost fell, and I touched something warm and soft.
What?
Yeah, light a match. Light a match and see what it is.
Okay. Good Lord.
Hey, it's a man. Man lying on his face in blood.
Here, Paul, hold the match till I look.
Okay.
The guy's still warm. Send him over to see.
Casey!
It's Shorty Irwin.
Yeah, Shorty Irwin.
Oh, wait a minute. He's not breathing.
Oh, the match has gone out.
Never mind the matches. Run back to the end of this alley and find a cop. Have somebody phone Logan at homicide and hurry.
Yeah, okay, Casey.
And get a doctor, Annie, quick. Maybe Shorty isn't dead.
Yeah, I will.
The guy's got a wife and a sick kidney that broke. Who could have shot him? Who and what? What? Who's there?
It's me, Jay. Only me.
All I know, Logan, is that I heard somebody moving just behind me, and then something hit me.
According to the doc, it must have been the butt of a gun.
Okay, Steve. We thought at first that you were dead, too.
But Shorty is dead, huh?
Yeah. A 38 slug got him in the back. Went through his heart.
Who could have killed a harmless little guy like him?
The same one who slugged you, Casey, from the looks of things.
Yeah, but who was the killer, Logan? Haven't you found any leads?
Not yet.
How long have I been out?
Almost half an hour, Casey. Yeah. I'm so worried.
It's all right, kid. I'm okay. Born with a thick skull.
Hey, you knew Irwin pretty well, Casey. Can't you think of some reason why...
Wasn't any reason, Logan?
No, don't question Casey now, Captain Logan. The doctor says he's got to go to the hospital.
Hospital? Oh, no. Forget it, Annie. Logan, you remember Shorty got a beat on a Bernstein murder. Maybe Mosley thought Shorty got a picture that would help strap him in the chair and...
Now, forget about Mosley, pal. He's dead.
Who's dead?
Joe Mosley.
He was the man who died in the tenement fire.
Joe Mosley?
Yeah. Fireman dragged out a charred body shortly after you were socked. It was lying just inside what was under the back door. Here's what they found on it.
That watch has Joe Mosley's name engraved on the case, Casey. Yeah. And the diamond ring has his initials inside.
And there was some fancy bridge work in the mouth of the remains that I'm pretty sure was Mosley's. It replaced some teeth that I personally had the pleasure of knocking out when he resisted arrest one time.
And he was hiding out in that abandoned tenement.
Yeah. And now the state won't have to burn him.
Well, then who killed Shorty?
We'll find out.
Yeah. Well, I gotta get back to the office. Joe Mosley's death and poor Shorty's murder make feature stuff. These bum pictures I got of this fire.
No, you're waiting here for the ambulance.
No, I'm not.
Oh, now, Casey,
Logan,
please.
Give me my camera and my plate case.
Hey, listen, pal, you ought to take
it. Wait, I'm nuts. Where's my stuff? Where is it?
Well, here's your tool.
Casey, don't...
Why should I go to the hospital? Lie there and think about that nice little guy, Shorty Irwin. Some louse shot in the back.
You're not fit to be working, Casey.
That's
even
all right.
City Death wants you to go home unless somebody...
Will you lay off, please? Look, wait a minute, will you? I'm trying to develop these films that I shot. You got no business in the dark room anyway, Annie.
Okay, if you want me to go on.
I'm sorry, kid. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
Okay, I know. I understand.
Let's see what I got here. Hey, I don't remember shooting anything from this angle. Let me see another. Annie. I didn't take these pictures.
What?
Well, there's a shot here of... Get on the phone outside and call Logan right away.
Sure, but what's it all about, Casey? What did he find?
I won't be sure until I made a print of this negative. But I think I've got a picture of Shorty Irwin's murderer.
Our story will continue in just a moment. Do you know how to make breakfast toast more appealing, more satisfying? Well, here's a gratifyingly simple trick. Set out a lot of jams, jellies, and marmalades. Now, not just one, but a wide selection. And see how your family responds to that symphony of taste and luscious color. And see how they smile and reach for another golden slice of toast and another. And it's so good for them, too. Now, that's the way to start the morning right. That's the simple way to supply quick energy for an active day. Yes, you can add a magic touch to any ordinary meal when you serve a gleaming assortment of fine preserves, jellies, and jams for breakfast. Now, quite naturally, the packers of these fine foods, the preserve industry of today, bring you their colorful products packed in glass. And they know, as you do, that glass completely safeguards wholesomeness and flavor. And crystal clear glass provides a rainbow of color on your table. Anchor glass containers and modern anchor hawking sealing methods bring you flavor at its peak. Anchor glass containers and Anchor caps are both products of Anchor Hawking. The most famous name in glass.
You get this picture, Casey?
Logan, I didn't get it. Shorty got it.
Shorty?
Look, what did you do with the other equipment case, Logan? The one that you thought was Shorty's. I must have been so groggy.
Well, we opened it and found it empty. All the film's gone.
That explains everything. Look, what do you see in this picture I brought you?
Two guys walking up an alley with their backs turned.
But one of them is looking around over his shoulder. You can see his face.
And it's the face of Joe Mosley.
Yeah, you're right. In spite of the watch, the ring, the bridge work, Joe Mosley wasn't burned up in that fire because Irwin was killed after the fire was almost out.
That's right, Captain. It wasn't Mosley's body that was found.
No, it was just some poor devil of Joe Mosley's size with his stuff planted on him, teeth and all.
Yeah, sure. And the old gag was pulled so good I almost fell for it.
Almost? Well, you did fall for it, pal. Joe Mosley's brother, Frank, the lawyer, is a smart guy. Frank knew that Joe couldn't beat the Bernstein rap once you cops got your mitts on. It's only possible out. It makes you think that he was dead, so he framed that fire.
You think the other guy in this picture is Joe's brother, Frank?
Sure. His face doesn't show, but he's Frank's bill.
If we can prove Frank was with Joe, we can nail him, too, as accessory.
I've always wanted to get that tricky shite. Well, look, here's what I think happened.
Yeah?
Joe Mosley went into that tenement tonight and planted his watch, ring, and an extra set of bridge work on another guy who'd been smuggled in there unseen, probably doped or already dead. And then started the fire, yelled a couple of times after the fire got going, and sneaked out the back way into that alley, where his brother Frank was waiting to see that everything went according to plan.
Yeah, but where did Shorty Irwin fit in?
Shorty went into the alley for the same reason I did, Logan. Get a picture of the fire from a new angle. He saw Joe and Frank up the alley where the fire glow made it bright. He probably thought of that $5,000 reward. He was a camera toter, so his first instinct was to get a picture first. He called the cops afterwards, but Shorty snapped his shutter and started to run. Putting the film he just exposed into his case as he ran.
And then Joe shot him in the back. And he was about to take the film from Shorty's case when we came into the alley.
That's it, Annie. The box I stumbled over was really Shorty's equipment case. After Joe slugged me, he took the films from my case thinking that they were Shorty's.
Yeah, that must be the way it happened. So now we still have to find Joe and Frank Mosley.
Yeah, I think I know how to get both of them. And where?
What do you mean?
All you gotta do, Logan. Wait a minute. Before I pass out any more information, Logan, I want an understanding about that $5,000 reward.
Reward?
Yeah, I want it. I want it all. No divvy with you or any other cop.
You rat.
Huh?
A pal of yours has been bumped off, and you'll help nail the guys who killed him only if you can collect $5,000.
Logan.
You heard him, Miss Williams.
You honestly
think... In my racket, we know what guys will do for money.
Okay. Okay. I said I want the $5,000 and no divvies.
I don't make any deals.
No, out for the pot yourself now that I've shown a lot of cards.
No, but I'd have a legitimate right to be out for it. I wasn't a personal friend of Shorty Irwin.
You lout! Okay. I'm playing this my own way. And I'll see you later, Logan.
Hey, Casey, wait for me.
I'm not waiting for anybody. And the next time I see you, Logan, I think I'll knock your teeth out.
Casey, where are you going?
Get in my car, Annie. Go home, please.
I'm going with you. You know Logan didn't mean what he said.
Didn't
he? No, he couldn't have. Spoke of it so suddenly, Casey, out of a clear sky. It took him by surprise. And, why are you so interested in that reward?
You figure it out for yourself, honey. There's a car. Better take a cab home.
I'm not going home. I'm going with you.
Okay, if you want to stick your neck out, get in.
I don't think I'll enjoy your company, but I will go along with you to satisfy my curiosity.
Your neck and your curiosity.
Where are we going?
To the south side and through red light.
What's on the south side?
A photographer's studio run by a guy who calls himself Jackson.
Now that you've thawed out enough to tell me that one of Joe Mosley's brothers runs Jackson's studio, I would like
Annie,
to know...
Annie, wait a minute. I'm sorry I acted like a heel to you, but it was Logan. He made me so sore.
Well, stay for it, Logan, if you want to, but will you explain why you're going to call on this Jackson, who is really Tony Mosley?
Well, Frank Mosley will want to have a film that Joe thinks that he took from Shorty's kit developed to make sure that they have the incriminating picture. And Tony... Mosley, brother number three, is the logical guy to do it.
But they took the film from the alley, why, it's over an hour ago.
I know. I don't think Frank would take a chance of just driving to his place in a beeline. Laying even money that we get to Tony's about the same time they do.
Well, if you're right, you can't capture a killer like Joe Mosley single-handed.
Give you odds on that.
Casey, you don't even carry a gun.
Got one tonight. Borrowed it before we left headquarters.
Oh.
Well, Tony's joint's just up this block across the street. Parked right here.
Studio's upstairs, Frank.
Yeah, on the second floor.
Hardly anyone on this street. No policemen. But we can't take a chance on going up there.
We're not going up there, Annie. You're staying right in the car.
Oh, no.
Yes, honey, look, I want you to be out here watching. If you don't see me come outside in 5 minutes, you make for that drugstore in the corner and phone the cops.
Well, yeah, okay.
All right, but if you have to call him in, make it very clear that I'm not splitting that reward. Well, have you developed every film, Tony?
Every exposed one you brought me, Frank.
No, there's nothing but pictures of the fire here.
I see. Maybe I rubbed out that little guy for nothing, Frank.
Yeah, but we saw him with his camera pointed at us in that alley. Yeah, you're so brainless, you rubbed out Bernstein before witnesses. But even a lawyer like me can't make a jury believe you didn't do it. Now, I think you've done something dumber than usual. Only you can't figure out what.
Stop calling me dumb, Frank.
Now, shut up, you screwball. Now, let me think. Well, then that other guy, the one you slugged in the alley. You don't know who he was?
How could I know? It was pitch dark.
With a girl, you told. Didn't you hear them say something that...
Hey, she called the guy Casey, I think it was. He seemed to know the guy I just shot.
She called the guy Casey, Joe?
Yeah.
I know. Casey, Morning Express. Sure, he's the answer. He'd carry an equipment case. Those were his films you got, Joe.
Then the film you wanted, Frank?
The cops probably have it by now.
Hey, we gotta make tracks and fast.
Then get out of my studio. Here, quick. I don't want to be mixed up in your murder. Yeah, we're going, Tony. We're going. But burn those films you developed and forget your thoughts tonight.
No one will learn anything out of me, Frank. But you and Joe get out.
Get out of that, Frank. Wait a minute.
Got a lot of one.
Broke the signal.
What do you mean?
We left a lookout in the car, Tony. That horn meant somebody's coming up here.
Cops to trail you to my place.
No. That signal don't mean cops.
So I'll open the door quick. You take care of whoever's coming up the stairs, but no shooting unless you have to.
Yeah, okay. I'll open the door. Pick up your mitts, guy, and quick. Drop that gat in your hand. I'll let you have it.
Okay. Never had any luck packing a rod.
Shut up anymore. And step inside and keep quiet.
Frank, it's Casey.
I know.
How are you, Frank? Hello, Tony. Mug with a gun, of course, is brother Joe.
What were you doing on them stairs?
Just coming up to have Tony take my picture.
A wise guy, yeah.
Shut up, Joe. Where's the film, Casey?
What film?
Come clean. I figured out what happened.
Yeah, I guess you have. The cops have the film, Frank, and the cops have this joint surrounded right now.
Frank.
Now, take it easy, Tony. That bluff won't work, Casey. We have a lookout on the street who would have let us know if any cops were out. Just as he tipped us to expect you.
Oh, yeah. Should have thought of that. That sock on the head Joe gave me didn't do my brains much good.
You're going to get more than a sock on the head this time, wise guy.
That's right. I can guess why you had a hunch to come here, Casey. You can't figure out why you were sap enough to come alone. You know, you put yourself in quite a spot now.
You better not pull any rough stuff, Frank. I wasn't such a sap as you
Hold
think.
Hold it.
Someone's coming up the stairs, Frank.
I hear him. This guy makes a whisper, Joe. You know what to do.
Yeah.
Schultz didn't give us any signal. What?
Yeah, Schultz is not. Go on, let him in.
Huh, you look at it.
Yeah.
Let me in, guys.
Okay, Schultz. Hey, who's the dame with you?
Casey.
Annie.
Get in there, lady.
All right.
I saw the big guy leave the skirt in the car when he started up here, boss. So after I gave you the signal, I kept an eye on her. She started toward the drugstore with us, the telephone a minute ago.
You put a gun in my back, Casey.
That's all right.
Well, you've done a nice job, Schultz. Well, Casey, if you depended on this girl to bring the cops, she won't now.
I'm sorry, Casey.
You two have acted so dumb in coming here alone. I got an idea you've been even dumber. If you didn't turn that film over to the cops.
You're wrong, Frank. Captain Logan of Homicide has got that
Nuts.
Film.
He knew about it. He'd come here with you.
Now, listen.
You listen to me. Where is that film?
Casey just told
me. You're
going to
tell us the truth. Tell us where it is. All right. Joe, you know how to make them talk.
Yeah, I know.
And start with the dame.
Right now.
Let her go. Keep the guy covered, Joe. Hey, he was too slow, Frank.
He's breaking my arm, boss. Get the right guy.
Joe,
I'll fix him, Frank.
Casey, look out.
Get me.
Now, oh, Mr. Casey won't bother us for a long time.
Mug socked me before I KO'd him with my gat. No one socked Joe Mosley and gets away with it, I'm going to beat his head in.
No, don't hit him again,
Just
don't.
Watch me. Hey, what's that? Joe's been shot.
Take him up, you guys.
Get
the cops! Hey, the rest of them at the door.
And your lookout came up here with Miss Williams, Mosley. It gave me a chance to post my men.
You killed Joe. You killed my brother.
I've saved the state expense. And if you make a move that gives me any excuse, I'll save it another bill for juice. Get the cops on him, boys.
Logan, how did you know we came here?
There's no way of keeping you quiet tonight, is there, Casey? You've recovered from another knockout.
My head.
Hey, Casey.
That's all right, Eddie. I'm okay. Logan, I ask you, how did you know?
I simply followed your car, you sap. You didn't think I'd let a bloodsucker like you collect the $5,000 reward.
I see. That's all yours, Logan. You want it. You earned it. Only
you wanted it. For Shorty Irwin's widow. What? Well, she's going to get it.
Logan.
I knew that was your idea from the first. And I got sore at you for trying to make a deal with me instead of coming clean. Shorty's picture and that reward for his family, no matter what anyone did afterward. And the next time you infer that I'd cheat a widow and a kid, I'll knock your teeth out.
Okay, Logan. I got it coming. Only just the teeth, please. Please don't anybody sock me on the head again tonight.
We'll join the crowd of the Blue Note in just a moment. It's just a week to Thanksgiving and a real old-fashioned turkey dinner with all the fixings. And to make that fine meal even finer, serve plenty of delicious oven-baked side dishes. You know, there are so many tasty dishes that'll make your dinner look better and taste better when they're baked in Fire King oven glass. Sweet potatoes, baked onions, baked tomatoes, cornbread, pies, and puddings. Why, your family will enjoy those steaming casserole dishes when they come to the table warm, fragrant, and appetizing in beautiful pale blue Fire King oven glass. And it cuts down the work after the meal because Fire King oven glass is so amazingly easy to clean. Now, you'll find Fire King oven glass at 5- and 10-cent stores, department stores, and all other stores selling household glass. Fire King prices are amazingly low, And every piece is guaranteed for 2 years against oven breakage. Fire King Oven Glass is a product of Anchor Hawking. The most famous name in glass.
Hello, Miss Williams. Captain Logan.
Hello, Ethelbert.
Say, where's Casey?
He's home in bed, Ethelbert, on Dr. Logan's orders.
You sent the guy to bed, Captain?
That's right, Ethelbert. And the two men I assigned to take him home have orders to make sure that's where he goes. What's so funny?
Hey, look who's coming in the door with those bandages on his head.
What? Casey!
Hiya, folks. Meet my pal.
Sergeant, I thought I told you to see that Casey...
Now, wait a minute, Logan. That's not their fault.
What do you mean?
They brought me here. This is where I told them I live.
Why... All right. Set him up, Ethelbert. A guy who earns a $5,000 reward can afford to pay for it. These are on you, Casey.
$5,000?
Ethelbert, can you lend me $5 more? I'm still flat.
Crime Photographer, starring Stotz Cotsworth as Casey, is brought to you each Thursday by the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation, makers of Fire King Oven Glass, Anchor Glass Containers, Anchor Caps and Closures, all products of Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. Photographer is directed by John Deese. The original music is by Archie Blyer, and the program features Miss Jan Miner as Anne and John Gibson as Ethelbert. Herman Chittison is the Blue Note pianist. This is Tony Marvin saying goodnight for the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, with offices in all principal cities of the United States and Canada. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back. Well, a really good story. I do like the perspective on Casey, where he helps out his friend Shorty, but does not make a big deal about it. It's part, I think, of the reputation of being, you know, tough. And it's also the thought that good things shouldn't be done to make people look good or to be showy, which I think also goes to, you know, why he would not outright say to Logan what he wanted with the reward. Casey's ethic is, this should go without saying. And there's, I think, some frustration that Captain Logan is trying to push him into disclosing something and making an insinuation. Of course, it turns out Logan's just being stubborn, but it's an interesting dynamic and a look to a different sort of approach to giving than is often the case today. Now, a couple of interesting notes from BlueNoteBulletin.blogspot.com. The first thing that was really interesting about this is that this is one of two Casey scripts that were actually based on a short story in Black Mask by George Herman Cox, the creator of Casey. The other script is sadly not in circulation. Dr. Webb over at Blue Note Bulletin notes that there was some weird stuff with the production on this. That the script that was supposed to be performed was a script called Hot Ice, which was another reused script, but they replaced that reused script with another reused script because this one had also aired on Casey. So wasn't sure what was behind that. This once again is a case where he points out we had a witch's tale script used, and then two guest scripts, and then this script, which was reused, with one of the big alterations to this script being that last week's episode was referenced, so that it ties in with what's been going on with the show at this point. All right, so now we're going to talk a little bit about listener support. And we're going to take pretty much the same approach we took during our spring campaign, which is kind of low-key in comparison to campaigns we've done throughout the history of the podcast. We've had a very good past 6 months on the financial side of the podcast. We've had the dynamic insertion ads. And on top of that, we've been blessed to have 8 episodes with named sponsors, such as June's Journey, The Lost Diaries, Storyworth, and HelloFresh. And I hope that, you know, sort of thing continues. But I've been doing this podcasting thing now since the Bush administration. I've seen a lot of ups and downs and revenue sources coming and going. The one thing that has really helped me with the show is the support of our Patreon supporters. That's regular, reliable support by more than 250 great fans of the program who have pledged amounts ranging from $2 up to $30 per month. And that really helps give a reliable source of income to the program and allows me to make plans and know that regardless of what happens with this program or that, our Patreon supporters will be there for me. So I really appreciate that. We're now in our 6th year. And so that is actually going to be the entirety of my focus on the listener support campaign is just Patreon supporters. Now, if you are a Patreon supporter, you get a monthly newsletter from me, which will include a personal update, and then production details of what we're doing with the program and kind of also like what we're thinking about doing, where we might be going, and different ideas that I have. Also occasionally be requests for feedback or polls. And of course, there is the annual poll where we ask our Patreon supporters what we should do for our summer series over on The Amazing World of Radio. This year, the winner was the Summer of Summer Replacement Programs we've been playing, which I hope you've enjoyed. Also, sometimes when I've got the audio, post something early. a great example of this is that we'll be resuming for a short time brand new podcast of the Old Time Radio Superman program, and the first episode has been posted for our Patreon supporters, even though it won't drop for regular listeners until September the 3rd. So you can become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters over at patreon.greatdetectives.net for $2 per month. And I will say this, that a lot of folks do like to give to the program on a one-time basis, and you can do that at support.greatdetectives.net using the Zelle app to box 13 at greatdetectives.net or by mail to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, 15913, Boise, Idaho, 83715. And if you choose to support the program in that way, we welcome that. If you'd like to request one of the thank you gifts that we give with that over on our website, support.greatdetectives.net. We've still got those listed, and we will send those as requested. And we truly appreciate any support people choose to give to the program. It's, you know, such an honor when people support the program. And to quote the immortal Forrest Gump, that's all I've got to say about that. Now, I did want to remind you, in Season 13, we'll reach the end of Casey Crime Photographer, and we'll present The Adventures of Sam Spade. It'll be quite a while yet until we get to Sam Spade. It'll be sometime next summer. Well, now I want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Matt, Patreon supporter since October 2016, currently supporting us at the rookie level of $2 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support, Matt. And during our listener support campaign, you can join Matt and all of our other Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. Just go to patreon.greatdetectives.net. Well, that will do it for today. If you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, be sure to subscribe, mark the notification bell to be notified whenever new videos are added, and be sure to like the video. Join us back here tomorrow for The Adventures of Philip Marlowe. Next Saturday, we'll be bringing you the only episode of Top Secrets of the FBI. Next Tuesday, join us for The Adventures of Bill Lance. And then next Saturday, join us for Squad Room. And of course, join us back here next Monday for another episode of Casey Crime Photographer. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off. Coming up this week on the Old Time Radio Snack Wagon.
The echoing hoofbeats of the Ghost Rider should never end. They should throb in the pulses of every American and live in his memory from family to family, generation to generation. Perhaps ghosts should be seen and not heard. But this is one your whole family should hear about.
Listen to the Old Time Radio Snack Wagon, snackwagon.net, or wherever you get your podcasts.